Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
So let's just pray and jump right into this today. Father, we want to thank you for the atmosphere that's been set through how good our God truly is. And we ask your blessing on this word today, God. So dear Lord, just show up and show out as only you can do. Everybody say in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And again, we're certainly glad you're with us, whether you're tuned in or whether you're here with us in person. And really, we started a series last week called America's in Trouble. It's a message series I wished I didn't have to preach. I would love not to have this series going on, but I think that we all realize that our nation and the world in itself is not headed in the right direction. And we need to know about these things, and we need to understand what our role is. And we're not going to rehash last week, but we talked about last week. The main trouble with our nation is not coming out of the Washington, it's came out of the church. And that being the problem is we've compromised the Word of God in the church, and we've allowed these things to happen over the course of several years, but it still happened on the church's watch. Okay? And so that was last week. We talked about that. We talked about the redemption of the church. It's coming in the last days. Say amen to that too. But I want to pick up where I kind of left off last week with a verse, I believe, and this week we're going to talk about our nation. Everybody say our nation. Now, when the church breaks down, the nation's going to break down. Come on. It's not the other way around. It's not when the government breaks down that the church breaks down. It can only come in this procession. When the church begins to compromise and break down and fall in more in love with the world system, that a world system will set up in your nation to start controlling you. Okay? And that's exactly where we're at and where we're headed into deeper waters if we don't have a true repentant revival. Which means the church repents, gets back on its face before God, and starts living a Christian life inside the church and outside the church. Somebody say we need that. Because Psalms 33 verse 12 says this, blessed is the nation, everybody say nation, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. So literally we can put it like this, especially at the founding of our nation, blessed is America because they began with the Lord as God. Amen? And because of that, the people of America, God chose as his own inheritance. We have inherited a great nation, y'all. We inherited a free nation. We inherited a godly nation. And now we're forfeiting it over to satanic realm again that we came out of. And look at you ever say, these things ought not be. Now, let me also give you a couple of things that talks about government and the nations in the Bible. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 2 says this. It says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Yeah. Amen. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan. Now, you got to understand, this was written at a time where kings ruled everything. And now, thank God we're not under a kingship here. No matter what they think, they're not a king. No matter what they think in America, they're not dictators yet. Now, that's the goal. Don't get me wrong. Their goal is to become a dictator. Come on. Yeah. If you get offended by political incorrectness, you might as well just get on out now. Because I am not politically correct. My only concern is being biblically correct. Amen. And so this is not going to be a message for your feelings today on political stuff or governmental stuff. And I love America. I believe in government, but I believe in one that honors God. And when it don't honor God, I don't care who it is or what it is, we need to call it out where we can do something about it. Amen. And that's why the Bible says when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when wicked men and women in politics rule, the people groan. Hallelujah. Now look at Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34. The Bible declares godliness. Everybody say godliness. What? What? Godliness makes a nation great. Government does not make a nation great. Listen to me, church. The Bible says it is godliness. In other words, being like God in your nation, nationwide, that sets a nation apart and makes it a great nation. Why do you think we come to prominence like we did as one of the young? We're still one of the youngest countries and nations on the face of the earth. Still, we're just a baby compared to other ones. And what made us so great? Because we dedicated our country to God Almighty. We had leaders who hit their face and prayed and invited God into every situation we faced. And over the years, because of the prosperity, because of the success, sometimes we get a little relaxed and we get familiar. Then we start wanting the other worlds to come into our world. And then we, again, I use the word compromise. Everybody say compromise. We begin to compromise. But the Bible says it's godliness that makes a nation great. But watch this. But sin. Sin. Sin, sin, sin. Sin is a disgrace to any people. Sin. Again, not government, but sin. Not just politicians, but sin. The root of this thing is sin in a nation, brings a nation down. And another word for disgrace is the word humility. Or excuse me now, not humility. What is the word here I'm looking for? Disgrace is, well, it's kind of, it's dishonor, it's disobedient, but I'm still looking for another word. Anyway, I'll come back to it if I get it. It's just kind of like, when you've disgraced something, it's just awful. It's stupid. Spirit of stupid, amen? Detestable is another word. But it says it's a disgrace to any people. Now you got to understand, it's sin that's a disgrace. It's always been a disgrace, and it always will be. Now, in my 56 years of living on planet Earth, I love where I've lived through. I've lived through a lot of different things in my lifetime up to this point, and I plan on living a lot more, many years, to see a lot more greater things of God to happen. Hallelujah. But I can say in my lifetime, I have never seen our nation divided like it is right now, especially in the last 12 to 15 years. We're divided in every area known to man. And there's a reason for that. That's a plan. Touch your neighbor and say, that's a plan. Now, here's the thing about it. We really aren't that divided. In the real root of America, the people that get up every day and go to work and make things happen and have a family and you got your kids in school and you're trying to raise them, we really ain't divided in America. But we've allowed just a handful of people to come in and stir the pot and get us all riled up and we lose our minds over it. And these people are called activists. These people are called, well, I just give you the real name. They're called politicians. They're called politicians. They want to come in and stir up a certain base of theirs and pander to them and promise all these great promises and never follow through. And just like suckers, we fall for it every time. And I know you're thinking, oh, yeah, them stupid liberals and Democrats, but no, you stupid right people and Republicans too fall for it too. That when you boils down to it, there's really not that much difference between any of them, no matter what comes behind or in front of their name. Their sole purpose is for them. Good preaching, amen. But we're allowing them to destroy a great nation. Because of our gullibility and our compromise of the Word of God, we follow politics more than we follow the Word of God. Some of you, if you would watch your Bible as much as you watch the news, you would be sharp in the Word. If you would get caught up in what's right with God instead of what's right with your party or wrong with your party and get what's right with God, you'd be a whole lot better off. Well, 2 Peter's got a scripture for politicians. Do you know that? Here's my politician scripture found in the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 19 says this. They promise freedoms, but they themselves are slaves of sin and corruption. For you are a slave to whatever controls you. How many of those did I just describe that you know? They're going to step on a platform and tell you what you want to hear, promise you everything that you think you want, and then get up there and deliver nothing. Why? Because they themselves are controlled by sin. Don't shout me down. This is probably going to get taken off every platform on social media. But that's okay. Do y'all remember the COVID shutdown? How many of y'all remember the pandemic? Now, during the COVID shutdown, we got suckered into a bunch of stuff. Because we watched this little square box and we watched people who said they were in control and the experts. Now, my question is, if there hasn't been a pandemic in America in over 100 plus years, how can there be an expert? People with zero experience of going through a pandemic all of a sudden are experts in telling you what you need to do. Now, during COVID, you were deemed, they said, you can't go out of your house. We want you to stay in. We're going to shut businesses down all across America unless we, the government, deem you essential. And if we don't deem you essential, you're shut down. And do you know how many businesses, small businesses, our government ruined? But boy, the big box offices got to hold on. The Walmarts and the Targets, yeah, you're fine. Mom and pop shop, no, you're no good. So you want to take herd me into where everybody's going instead of visiting my local shop where there's only a handful. That makes a lot of expert sense. The corona's not going to go where the multitudes are. It's just going to go to the mom and pops and the restaurants. And of course, we fell for it hook, line, and sinker, most of us. So let what was essential back then. Here are three things deemed essential by our government across the board, especially in California. Liquor stores were essential. The bars were still open where you could go get a drink during the pandemic, because bless your heart. Come on, the bars and the liquor stores were essential. Now, this is no joke, especially California. Strip clubs deemed essential can remain open. Come on. Oh, and by the way, if you need an abortion clinics, that's essential. You should be able to murder a baby anytime you want, no matter what's going on. But guess what was deemed non-essential during the pandemic? Church, worship. You got to shut those places down. And then when they tried to reopen, they even told them, said, well, you can gather, but you can only have this many. You got to be this far apart. You can't touch each other. And you must not and will not sing or you'll be in violation. So you can't sing and worship God. It even got to the point in California where they said, okay, if our churches are not open, we're going to go into homes. And Governor Newsom tried to pass a law and did sign an executive order. You cannot worship in your home. You cannot sing to God in your home, and you can't have Bible study in your own home. I hope you don't forget about this stuff, because you're non-essential in the home worship. And here, it had to go to the Supreme Court, y'all. And I want to read to you an article. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled in a decision 5-4. Everybody say 5-4. The 5-4 decision by the Supreme Court that California's ban on at-home worship or Bible study groups or prayer groups violated the First Amendment guarantee of the freedom of the exercise of religion. And we went, yay, thank you for that. It was 5-4. That means it almost didn't pass. That the people who are supposed to be supreme in their judgment, that means almost all of them, just one of them, made it go to where we could have church in homes. But there were four of them that said, no, you're not allowed to in this nation no more. Tell me God in America is not in trouble. And we have sat back and we allowed it. Thank you. Now, for those of you that remained at home, if you turned on that box, you couldn't go to church, you couldn't go out. They wanted you in the home, or they wanted you at the strip club, the bar, the alcohol, That was fine. But there was also another event that was just okie dokie with the government. And that's when groups would get together, get their feelings hurt, want to protest something, and they would go out and riot. Right in the middle of a pandemic, we can gather huge numbers and go and ransack a neighborhood, burn down buildings, burn businesses to the ground. That's okay. The coronavirus doesn't go there. It's amazing. Riots. Without, they were just mostly peaceful. Just killing and burning buildings to the ground and smashing windows and peaceful. That's what you were told. All of this during the COVID shutdown. And most Christians just went along to get along. Amen. They became fine with staying. Do you know there's Christians today that still won't go to church? You know why? Because they got so compromised they don't feel like they need church anymore. And it played into the government's hand to help destroy churches. Oh, I know this is a hoiky-joiky message today, but it's okay. Now, I want to read you a scripture that you may not have ever seen in the light of what I'm talking about today, but I believe it's just as much for what we're discussing today when a nation begins to go rogue and begins to try to put you into slavery and condemnation and tries to destroy you from your freedom of worship. You better pay attention. This verse in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, usually talks about sin, and it is talking about sin, but we just said that a nation, when it sins, is a disgrace. So this verse applies. Go ahead and put it up, Romans 12, 2. Do not be conformed to the world system. The world system that goes against the word of God. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. During COVID, the church should have got so strong, it should have gotten scary. Because if you didn't go to work and you didn't go out that much and you were at home, you should have been in your word. Seeking the face of God, coming out even stronger when it was over. But we kicked back and we listened and we bought into all the jargon and we bought into this and we bought into all that. And it wasn't nothing but a move of the devil. That through the name of Jesus you can overcome. Be you transformed by the renewing of my mind. Why? Because I can prove what that good and acceptable and perfect will of God is. It's the perfect will of God that we, the church, rise up in any emergency, in any chaos, and show the world how the Christians march right through the middle of it. And how we thrive in those situations, not run and hide. How we have boldness, not fear. We don't conform to anything that goes against the word of God. Now, luckily, we live in Alabama, and ours wasn't quite as bad here, but we still had a governor that wanted to shut us all down, even here in this. And I'm just going to tell you, I don't know about you, but there ain't never going to be a time, there ain't never going to be a law by a governor, a mayor, a president, a king on the earth, or a Supreme Court that's going to shut my mouth from praising to my God. I don't know what you're going to do. But as for me and my house, we're going to worship, we're going to pray, we ain't never not going to do it. You can make a law against it, you can write edicts, you can write presidential executive orders all day long. They don't mean flip to me over the word of God. We're not called to compromise the word of God. I believe in government, I believe in law and order, but when it goes against the word of God, now you've drawn a line that cannot be crossed. I'm sorry. But when the church is more scared of man than it is God, we have to get the fear of God back in our lives again. Hallelujah. This is why the government's doing everything it can to shut churches down. If it can't shut them down, it wants to shut them up. If it can't shut them up, it wants to shut them down. Quiet in here. And it's not time for a bunch of cowardly Christianity to happen. I got a verse for you, cowardly Christians. I do. I have a verse. There's a verse in the Bible that talks about cowardly Christians that yell calf rope at anything and just fold their little tent up and say, just go along to get along. I don't want to stir no trouble. Got a verse for you. James chapter 4, verse 4. You adulterers? Starts off with you calling you an adulterer. What is an adulterer? Someone who cheats on their spouse. Are you not the bride of Christ if you're born again? If I'm the bride of Christ, my spouse is God. And when I cheat on God, I'm an adulterer. You adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? Let me say it again. If you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. God didn't do it. You did it. How? By cheating on God. By not staying faithful to God and being faithful somewhere else. And we saw a lot of that, and we still see a lot of that in the church today. We have an adulterous church that needs to repent and get right back and be faithful to God and His Word as the bride of Christ. Are you the bride of Christ or not in this place this morning? Amen? Amen? I've only got one note this morning, and I want to put it up now. If we don't preach the truth and stand for the truth, we make ourselves an enemy of God. Amen. If you don't hear preaching of the truth of the Word of God out of a pulpit, go find you another church. We've got enough feel-good messages to last a lifetime. We need some meat of the Word of God that gets us through the things that the world is going to throw at us. If you haven't read Matthew chapter 24, I suggest you read it because we're starting to live in it. But it's not for us to be afraid of, it's for us to rise up in. But you won't rise up in what you don't know. And if all you know is the first time something else better comes along or it looks like it's going to benefit you more, you go chasing that skirt, then you're an adulterer. And you're an enemy of God, not because God wanted it that way, but because of the choices you make. There is no room for cowardly Christians in the kingdom of God. Now, you can have as many cowardly Christians as you want to in religion. They welcome you with open arms. But the kingdom of God is a kingdom. It has a king and it has an army. And it has an army that doesn't walk in fear, but it walks in power and might and anointing of the Holy Spirit of our King. Amen? How many were here? I don't know if it was last year or the year before. I can't remember. Time just keeps. But I came out here in a black robe. I preached a sermon called The Black Robe Regiment. Talked about how our nation was founded and we broke away from our oppressors in England and Great Britain through the power of the preached word is where America got the gumption to go in and declare its independence and fight for it. It came out of the pulpits. It was called The Black Robe Regiment. And for 3 weeks I preached in a black robe, and the last week I took off and had a uniform on like they had back then, and I had a musket and stuff, and I'll never forget, I think it was after that message, there was a young man here, and I don't remember his name. He was just passing through, and somehow, I don't know how he even got connected, and he dropped in here for some reason, and he heard this message, and he caught me in the welcome center after. He goes, "My God, I've never heard a message like that." And I said, "Well, where do you go to church?" And he named the church, and it is a massive church. I know of this church very well. Huge church in huge city. He said, I said, what made you so special about this one? He said, "You will never hear that preached at my church." He said, "The subject matter you just talked about our nation and God and coming against things like you did, you will never hear that preached in our church." He said, "Not just my church, but the churches in that city. You ain't going to hear a message like that." And it's so refreshing to come out here and hear something like that. I said, "Well, you know what? That might be the problem. That could be the problem. There ain't nothing special about what I preached. Nothing. It's just the Word of God." Which means it's all powerful, don't get me wrong. But God is no respecter of persons, whether your church is in the middle of nowhere or slap in the middle of the biggest city in America. Amen. The truth is the truth. And you shouldn't be able to shrink back from truth because you people or you givers don't like the truth. And I believe what we're seeing right now is a hunger to get out of the mamby-pansy, panty-waist type church and get into one that's hungry for the Word of God and preaching the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that there is no other way. God is God, sin is sin, heaven's real, and so is hell. And we're starting to see people who have got enough of that other junk. They want some truth they can sink their teeth into. They want a word they can stand on and authority to watch go. Y'all okay? I wished I didn't have to preach this. I wish I could sit up here and tell you about our nation going forward with God and revivals breaking loose everywhere and how we can get online and watch our leaders kneel down and pray and invoke the name of Jesus Christ and the revival that's taking out in Washington. But that's coming maybe, but it's not here now. Instead of sitting there waiting on to see it on TV, why don't you make it happen in your house? Why don't it happen in your church? Oh, I want to go to a church with power. I want to experience powerful praise. No, can I tell you, most people don't. You want to attend a place that has that going on. Huge difference between you getting it and just being in a place where you see other people have it. And when you get to the point where you're tired of seeing everybody else have that, and you're ready to get out of your own personality, you're ready to get out of your own preferences and just surrender to the Holy Ghost of God, then you will be a part of what God's doing. It's what you call spectators and participators. And we got a lot of spectators in the house of God, but very few participators. It's for you. It's not just for you to sit back and watch and go, man, what a great service. Wow, I love the way he or she worships. Wow, I love the way that pray. I love to hear them pray in tongues. Well, do you pray in tongues? No, I don't. Why not? Well, I just don't know about all that. Well, how about finding out? How about finding out? And not lose the language of God in this generation. Because it's real and it ain't scary, I'll promise you that. It is powerful. But in order for what's known as a new world order, I know you've heard that before, it's come under a new name during COVID called the Great Reset. And we need a reset. We need a reset back to God. Not the one they got in mind, because the Great Reset and the new world order they have in mind is going to put me and you in prison. Or kill us one. Because when they can't control you, they got to get rid of you. They got to deplatform you, cancel culture, whatever you want to call it. But in order for that to happen, in order for what the world wants to happen as on a whole, America has to fall. Are you listening to me? America has to fall from its current status, because in America, and I don't care what you see on the news, don't believe everything you see on the news, for God's sake. There's still a lot of America that is seeking the power of God. A lot. They're not going to report how many, but it's a lot. It ain't everybody, but it's a lot. It's enough for them to still be scared. Come on now. Amen? And that's why they're doing everything they can to divide us in every area possible. Race, color, creed, nationality, finances, this side of the tracks, that side of the tracks, Hollyweird, whatever. Just cause division. Because listen to me now. The enemy understands the word of God. Say that with me. Say, the devil knows the Bible. He knows it is probably better than anybody here, self included. He's a study of it for years. And he knows there's a verse in there that Jesus spoke. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 25, Jesus said these words. Jesus said, I know your thoughts. And then he said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought down to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. Now, if the formula for busting up a nation is to get into homes, now look at that, leave that up there. Start at the back. A town or a family splintered by feuding will fall apart. So what do we got? That's why marriages are constantly at each other. Because he knows there's a splatter effect if we divorce. It falls into our kids' generational blessings or cursings. So if he can divide the home, he knows the next step is he's got a divided church if they still go to church. And if he can divide the church, which he has, we have white church in America. Then we have black church in America. And then after those two meet, if there's Hispanics, then we let them have a service after us. We were to all be sitting together, worshiping together. Well, what about the language barrier? We're just speaking tongues. If you don't speak in tongues, we got them little things you can put on your ear now, and interpretation comes right immediately. It translates for you. Technology's wonderful when it works. But that's why we're trying to be divided, because a house divided against itself cannot stand. Then a church divided is going to equal a nation divided, and a nation divided can be taken over and put under a new world system. A great reset can happen when a nation's divided. But a nation in unity, especially if it unifies on the word of God, cannot be stopped. by any bombs or any force or any deception whatsoever. God's people, when they're united, cannot be stopped by anything. So let's look at our current situation in America. We're the laughingstock of the modern world right now. They look at America and they hee-haw us now. From what we used to be and what we stood for, the godliness, the morals, the standard, the family, now has all been erased, and we got nothing but sick perversion sin all across every area in our lives in America now. And other nations, most of them, some of them are just like America, they're going down that same path, but a vast majority of the world is laughing at America at this point. They're mocking us and making fun of what great America used to be, but look, they've turned away from God and look what they've become. Now, I'm not talking, this is not just sponsored by a group. These are things that our government now sponsors in America. Same-sex marriage is promoted and protected and lauded by our government. Transgender and gender identification dysphoria. Somebody asked me, Easter Sunday, which we call Resurrection, greatest holiday known to the Christian religion, whatever. We didn't even hear you talk about the transgender day they announced that day. Did you not know it? Yeah, I knew exactly what they were doing, but I couldn't go there because I was afraid I'd say something that really would get under your crawl. In other words, I'm afraid I might sin. So I didn't even mention it on Resurrection Sunday. But the audacity of sin to get in the face of the resurrection celebration of Jesus Christ, and your president, the great leader of this, says, we want to declare today National Transgender Recognition Day. And in case y'all didn't know that, that was on Easter Sunday in America. We see you, we recognize you, you're part of us, we're going to make sure you get your recognition today. You might as well just spit right in the face of God. And there's a lot of churches that celebrated it that way. Dear God, help us, Jesus. So that's not just celebrated by our government, it is pushed by our government. I watched a video right before I came out of my office. Again, we're the laughing stock of the world right now because of our sickness and perversion we've allowed into our government. I watched a recruiting video for the Soviet Union's military to recruit young people into serving the country. And it showed men painting their face up. It showed them getting into war. It showed them doing guns. It showed them coming out of helicopters. It showed them coming up out of the thing like special forces. It was just like, ugh, come join something, be a man. And then I watched the Army, the United States of America's Army's latest recruiting video is a cartoon, an animated thing of a young girl talking about how she was raised by two mommies. And how she felt a calling to help defend. And it showed her at rallies holding up signs, love wins. And she's walking and it shows her mom and her other mom getting married after one mom had went through a thing. But she got back okay and worked her way. And one mom married my other mom. And I was there to be in attendance of that. And I'm so proud. And you know, now I've got a light of path. And that's the recruiting for our Army now. Now, who would you be afraid to fight? Come on. Who would you want to go to war against? I'd want to fight the people who's got the trans and the gays in their military. Come on. Oh, can you believe he's saying that? Now let me make sure you understand. I love gay people. I love transgender people. But I love them enough to tell them the truth of the gospel that'll set them free. You're operating in a perversion. And as soon as you want to come out of that, you just stretch your hand to God. God will heal you. God will deliver you and make you right. And you'll have the promise just like I do. Well, there'll be no difference. Amen. There isn't. They're just as savable as anybody on planet Earth. Amen. But until they get saved, I will never affirm what they do is okay. I will never hate them because of the Bible, and I will never affirm them because of the Bible. I'll just say I love you and I want to tell you the truth of Jesus Christ. He didn't die for you to be this way. He died for you to be the way he created you. And here's the thing. They're pushing it down your throat. You have to accept the way they want to be. Well, why should I accept the way you want to be when you couldn't even accept the way you were born? You couldn't accept the way God made you, but now, don't get me started. So this is all supported, lawed, coming from our government. Our government also says, we want you to fight, we're going to fight for you and pass laws, everything we can, for you to have an abortion of a baby up to birth, and some places even after they're born. And we're going to call it abortion, but we don't want to call it murder because you would catch on then. The government also supports and funds drag queen story hour and interaction with preschool and elementary kids. Now, we haven't had it here yet. It's come to Nashville, though. It's happened 2 hours up the road where drag queens go in and teach them how to shake and jiggle and how to stuff $1 bills in places and reads them gay stories. This is your government. Where you live and where I live and where we're trying to raise our family. And we're just sitting by watching it go along. There's a two-tier justice system in America, if you haven't noticed. Rules for thee, but not for me. I could give you a whole list here, but let me just give you two of the big ones. Healthcare, the Affordable Health Care Act. Nothing about it is affordable. You like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. You like your plan, you can keep your plan. How many of you worked out for that? None of us. But guess who, if you don't have insurance, you're going to have to pay, America. If you decide to not join us, we're going to make you pay. That way you're paying for somebody else to have it. You're going to pay one way or another. Guess who's exempt? All of Congress and Washington politicians are exempt from the health care plan. It's something they want to put on you, but it's not good for them. They have a little bit better health plan than you and I have. Imagine that. Yes, and we, by the way, pay for theirs fully. And then there was a thing during COVID when the vaccine come out. We are going to mandatory all federal people, all of our army, all of our militaries, you must get shot. Literally. But we're going to exempt all of Congress people and their staff that serve up in Washington from it. If you guys don't want to, it's okay. Rules for thee, but not for me. See, you really are kind of almost living under a small dictatorship already. But now you won't hear it promoted like that. But go study it out for yourself. And then, I got to hurry, child trafficking. If you don't think that's a government-sponsored sin, then you just need to get your head out of a cranial area. They know about it. It's coming across the border. It's happening all throughout America, and it's happening with the government stamp of approval. Because all that sick bunch of perverts are involved in it. Not all of them, but you know what I mean. If you take and list out the seven mountains of influence in America, America's in trouble in every category. Every single category. Let me just say it like this. Every category has been satanically compromised to demonic forces. Let me give you the seven mountains, and I've added two more of my own on here. How many believe right now that there is a satanic compromise and demon influence in our government? How many of you believe in this place today that big businesses and corporations have been satanically compromised and demon-possessed in many areas? When you're selling transgender clothes to kids and marketing them to kids, the kid can't vote, the kid can't go out and drink, but the kid can say, I want to be a boy or girl and mutilate my body now at this age, go ahead. Amen. Have you lost your ever-loving mind? Amen. And the answer is yes. You've been turned over to a reprobate demonic spirit. Your only hope is to cry out for Jesus Christ. How many believe that religion in America has been compromised through satanic influence from the pulpit? I'm not. How many believe the nuclear family of morals and standards built on the Bible has been corrupted with satanic influences? And again, sin, folks, not just, it's sin. Sin in the government, sin in business, sin in the church, sin in our families. The next one is our media. They're going to tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Yeah. Our education system, our schools, our elementary schools, our preschools, our middle schools, our junior highs, our high schools, our colleges. Vast majority of us just indoctrination systems for the demons. And then the last mountain is what we call the arts and entertainment mountain. And if you've watched anything on TV now or movies, it's all become almost satanically influenced. Now, there are some good godly movies coming out. Thank you, Jesus, for that. But then you take a look at we're in trouble financially as a nation. Trillions of dollars of debt. And now we want to know if you've got a student loan. Well, it's debt-free. No, it's not debt-free. You're paying for it now. Now, listen to me. The only thing free in the whole world is your salvation. It's been paid for. That's the only thing you're ever going to get for free. Now, it cost Jesus his life, but you don't have to pay anything to get saved. Now, discipleship will cost you. Discipleship will cost you something. Salvation is free. Don't buy that, oh, elect this person because they're going to give me free something, something. No, it's being paid for. And it's going to come back on you. And then our morals. How many would say the morals of America are great and wonderful and we're just godly and holy and going after God? Or how many thinks we're going after more and more perverted stuff day and night? America is in trouble. Real quickly, Gallup poll. Everybody say Gallup poll. This is not a Christian poll. This is Gallup poll. How many's ever heard of Gallup polls? Gallup poll of Americans saying they are convinced that God does exist. In 2006, it was 73% of Americans said they're absolutely convinced there's a God. Didn't say which one, but they're convinced in some type of God. This is the thing I don't like about Gallup polls. It just leaves it generic. In 2010, 72% of America said, we believe they're convinced there is a God. And the latest statistics in 2022, it's dropped to 64%. That means the rest of America don't even, they said there is no God. There's no God here. There's no God anywhere. And you may say, wow, 64%, that's just a little over half of America. That means the other half don't believe anything about God. Don't believe he even exists. Guys, that's scary in a nation where it used to be just 25 years ago, 92%. 8% of America didn't believe about 25 years ago. In 25 years now, they're getting close to half. And I think if you polled right now in 2024, you might reach the halfway mark. Everybody say, let's end with some good news. The recent Gallup poll in America, they poll people and say, do you feel that you need God in your life at this season of your life? 44% is saying yes now. That sounds like a bad number, but that's the highest number in 50 years. It's 44% is the highest number of people that say, I need God in my life. And I don't know if people start to see the times of the signs of what's going on. And me and Matt talked about it this morning. Listen to me. Do you know what you have survived this past week? Yes. You have survived a solar eclipse. The X marks the spot. And me and Matt were talking. How arrogant America thinks that we're the only thing God is concerned with. Now, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings as an American. I'm proud to be an American. I love this nation. But God's not watching America. Well, he is. But if you want to know what's fixing to happen, you watch Israel. And that's why as of last night when Iran began to attack Israel, I began to intercede for Israel. You better learn to stand with Israel. Oh, but the media says it doesn't. If you listen to that, then just you, your head belongs where it's at. But 44% of America, the highest in 50 years, is saying we need God. Can I tell you something real? A lot of times lost people will be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit than the church is. And they can even discern the times and begin to read the seasons we're in. And they know there's a need to get them and their family and their marriage and their kids and their life back right with God. And the church is just sitting in here going, huh? You don't go to church this morning? I don't know. You want to? I don't know. I mean, I don't know how long he's going to preach today. We may not get up. Well, you got a fool with it. It'll be there next week. Or we'll just watch online. I got one more scripture you're going to get, so you might as well stand for this one. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. Do everything without complaining and arguing. Some of y'all ain't got a shot. Some of y'all just go on down to Pex, lay down there, and go to hell. It's just not in you to do. You just got to complain. You got to argue about everything. You go. I mean, you just got to break that. That word doesn't apply. I know that word don't apply to you. But the Bible says for us to do everything without complaining and arguing. And sometimes I've stopped there. But I want to reach to you one more verse. Go ahead with the next verse. Why? So that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining the bright light in a world that is full of crooked and perverse people. If you don't understand that's what you're called to right now in the season we're in, especially in our nation is crooked. It has went to the demons of hell in its perversion. We want to pass this to save the children. Don't you ever say save the children when you want to kill them in the womb. I don't want to hear a thing coming out of your mouth about children and protecting children when you can't protect them in the womb. What's your stance on abortion? Can't you figure it out yet? An argument they've never been able to come back on me with. I'm like, listen, if it's not alive, leave it alone. If it's not alive, it won't grow. Dead things don't grow. But alive things grow. So what are you aborting if it's dead? You're aborting something that's alive from the moment of conception. It becomes alive in Jesus. Case closed. You are called, you and I, we're to leave out of here today. And yes, it's dark out there. And yes, demons are having a heyday out there. And yes, Satan's got a foothold in all the seven mountains of influence. But he will keep that territory and he'll take more territory as long as you and I just come in here, sit down, get a little goosebump everywhere, feel good in here, and walk right out of here and compromise everything that's taught. But when you begin to get a boldness in where the darkness is and you know you got the light of Jesus in you, and you begin to say, you know what, I'm not here to start an argument. I'm not here to start complaining. But let me tell you what the Bible says. And you say it in the love of God. But you say it with a conviction that lets them know you ain't going to back up either. Come on. I've talked with them. I've not really debated with them, but they know I ain't going to back up. And I know most of them ain't going to back up. So why bother? Because truth is a seed that can be planted and watered and harvested later. And when you do it with the love of God, it leaves the door open for them to come back when they hit that rock bottom spot. Come on. I want our church to be one that has the door open to them. Every one of them. I hope a drag queen comes in here next Sunday. Come on. And if you're worried about it, I hope he or she sits right next to you. And I hope the Holy Ghost says, give them a hug and love. You better hug them in love. You better say, welcome to the house of God. We want you to know God loves you, and you hope you get some truth today. Amen? That's with anything that walks in here. Because you and I both walked in here today. Just because our sin looks different don't mean it's no less a sin. Well, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation. This is generational perversion we're coming against. among whom you shine as the light of the world to it. So is there darkness? Is there darkness in America?
Yeah.
Well, where's the light going to come from? Where's the light going to go into the darkness? If you don't carry the light into the darkness where you're at, how's it ever going to get any better? But we've got to leave the church seat, and we've got to go out there where the darkness is at and shine the light of God into it. And you can do it tactfully, and you can do it tastefully, and you can do it without compromising. And I've told you my story several times. I've spoken churches, and I've spoken schools. I love going to schools, and I always ask, are there any limitations on what I can and cannot say? And so far, I've never hit one that says, you can't do this, you can't do that. Now, let me tell you something. I will comply to some things, but if you tell me I can't say the name of Jesus, it's off. I'm saying the name of Jesus. I'll share with you one quick story. I know you're standing, but just give me just a second. Samuel Rodriguez, man of God, who was asked to speak and to pray at the inauguration of Donald Trump when he was inaugurated at his swearing in. And they told him, said, just don't say the name. Don't say the name. Don't say Jesus' name. It hasn't been said up here in, I think, 12 or 15 years. The last one to do it was Billy Graham. Nobody has said the name of Jesus in any of their prayers up until after Billy Graham did it years ago. Four or five presidents later, we still have never had the name of Jesus invoked at inauguration. And he was told not to say the name of Jesus. And he said the Episcopal or whatever it was that went up before him prayed in the name of wisdom. And we ask all things in the name of wisdom, amen. And he said, I got up there to that podium. And he said, I give what I was told to give and what the Lord told me to give. And he said, it came to the end. And he said, there was no doubt in my mind. He said, there was doubt in my spirit, not my spirit, but there was doubt in my mind about what to do. And he said, I kind of tore up. He said, but I knew in my spirit exactly what was fixing to come out of my mouth. And he said, and Father, I pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Now listen to me. He's still alive. He's okay. And he's still thriving. As a matter of fact, that opened up doors that no man can shut. Now, it may have shut a handful of doors, but to the ones it opened up was no comparison. When you don't compromise, God will reward you. But when you compromise, you become an enemy of God. Bow your heads. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, let me tell you something. You're not living in a time when I would take the chance. I wouldn't take the chance at any time. But right now, it's no time for mamby-pamby religious people. It's time to become a born-again believer. Surrender your life. It's the most manly thing you can do. It's the most woman thing you can do is to be a child of God in these days and live it out loud with boldness. So no mamby-pamby in here. If you want to get born again, no strings attached, you will not join our church today. You will not become religion today. We don't offer a religion. We offer you a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus, which we will always proclaim here. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, let me tell you something, sir, ma'am. You can't pay for your own sins. You can't die enough for it. You don't have enough money to money your way out of it. Only Jesus has paid for your sins. And if you're ready to surrender your life to him and become the most manly man you'll ever be, the most godly woman you can ever be, now's the time to start your journey. And just by slipping up your hand and saying, today I want to surrender my life to Christ. Just lift your hand to Jesus if that's you and say, I want to surrender my life to Christ. Right there is one. Come on. Come on, man of God. Yeah. Yeah. Celebrate, church. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on, would there be anybody else? Just lift up your hand and say, today's my day too. I'm ready to surrender my life to Christ. We got one over here? Back here? Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Just real quickly, anybody else? Anyone else? Just lift that hand up. Be bold in it. Throw that hand up. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ in this house. Maybe if you're at home, you're doing it. Now let me ask you, for those that are maybe you are saved, but maybe you've been one of those go along just to get along, don't want to rock the boat. And I'm not asking you to go out here and be rebellious. Rebellious is witchcraft. Okay? Rebellion's witchcraft. And it's not about being rebellious. Oh, I got a word for you 2 weeks from now about that. But it's about not being a coward to stand on God's word. It's about being the voice of Jesus in his word and truth and love. And if that's you, then say, man, I need to start doing a better job at that. There's something, I don't know what it is in me, but I just kind of get clammed up when I know my faith is being tested and I'm around people who don't believe. And I know I can feel that urge in me, maybe just to say a little something, but I've always just given in to that pressure. But today I want to just ask God to give me a boldness, a fresh boldness of love, compassion, and understanding of how to do it, that he is glorified and that the seeds of salvation and repentance are sowed into people I want to see turn their life around and go to heaven. If that's you, just lift your hand. And I'm lifting my hand because I need better tactics at time too. So Father, help us all. Help our nation, God. And I want to close with this right here. Some of you, either watching or here, wherever you're at, or may hear this later, all you're waiting on is you just hoping to get to 2024 where you can put a man by the name of Donald Trump back in office. That's what you're waiting on. Your hope for America is founded in Donald Trump. And I'm not saying that, I don't know why I don't know. But I'm going to tell you this, don't ever put your hope in man for a nation. Don't you wait till 2024. You better start right now. You better start getting your life in order. Because I'm telling you, it don't matter what man goes up there, if God's not with him, it'll never work. Again, it's not government that determines a nation, it's the people. It's the church. It's the Christians. It's the ones who have the name of Jesus, who won't call on him, or who do begin to call on him, that makes a difference. Now, we can strengthen any man that's up there with our prayers. And we want someone up there who goes along with the Bible. But I'm telling you, don't wait. If you want to put your trust in a man, put it in Jesus Christ.
That's right. Hallelujah.
Put your trust in Jesus. So, Father, I thank you for the salvations in here today, God. I thank you for the hands that's lifting up and saying, help me to know my place in this world, God, to be light into that darkness, God. Give me strategy. You don't have to know everything about the Bible to talk about Jesus. Just give your personal experience. I know I was this way, but I met Jesus and things are changing, baby. Well, what about, I don't understand it all. I don't know everything, but I'm growing. I'm being discipled by the Lord Jesus. But all I know is I was going to hell, but now I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. And I want to invite you to come along with me. So, Father, just bless what's here today, God, that we can take it out of here today, God, and multiply it into the workplace, into the schools, into the colleges, God, into everywhere we go, that we walk with the authority and the boldness and the love of Jesus Christ for his glory. Come on, if that's you, say amen. Come on, can we give him one more hand clap of praise? Thank you.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's word, go make a difference in your world today.